Sharon Daniel is a certified recovery specialist and executive director of the Pike County nonprofit organization, Choosing Integrity. It takes her into the prisons to work with incarcerated men and women. Through open dialogue and specific life tools, the overall goal is to have them recognize their sense of self-worth and purpose. Sharon Daniel continues the story.
Choosing Integrity is a grassroots organization that was formed in 2014 by two men. They were working at a state prison in Pennsylvania and felt that there needed to be more programming for the inmates that were in there. And they started bringing in cognitive, money management, forgiveness, all sorts of individual programs. They both lived in Pike County and decided to move that programming over to Pike County. And it ran for many, many years with just 2 to 3 volunteers, these two men who are still involved, and 1 or 2 others. Choosing Integrity was formed to support people that are incarcerated in the county jail in Pike County now, and moving hopefully towards Monroe to help them and support them through their reentry back into the community. We help in the jail. I lead groups focused on recovery from substance use disorders, coping mechanisms, whatever people feel they need help with. And we also connect them to resources in the community. Ultimate goal is so they don't go back to jail.
Are you a social worker?
Well, I have my master's in occupational therapy, which took a 35-year break when I married a chef and ran a restaurant with my husband. And then during COVID, I decided to go back to what I loved, which was working in mental health. I received my CRS from the state of Pennsylvania, which is a certified recovery specialist.
And what got you interested in this particular type of recovery?
Well, I'm in recovery myself for many, many years. I have a son who was incarcerated briefly. It made a huge impact on me as a mother, and it certainly made an impact on him. He's doing great now. He overcame what he needed to overcome and move forward. But I also saw in my community, there were many, many people that didn't have that opportunity and needed help getting there. And meeting people that have substance use disorders and knowing nowadays what a struggle it is for so many people with all of the opioids and all the things that are out there on the streets. It's really a real struggle for people, and they really need support and respect. I think one of the hardest things that even as a mother I found was the stigma that's associated with people that have been incarcerated, people that have records, and people that have substance use disorders.
What can one expect in your shoes on a day-to-day basis?
Well, up until I became the executive director, I primarily was hired to run groups in the jail. When I was offered the position of executive director, I said I will only take it if I can continue running groups, because to me, that is where the true work is. And it continues to give me the motivation to do all the administrative stuff and write grants and the stuff that I'm not crazy about, but I'm doing anyway. And so when I go into the jail, I never really know what I'm going to meet, who is going to be there. I run a men's group and a women's group. And the only thing I can say about every group, it's the same, because when I walk in there, I say to them, I don't care why you're in this building, which is the truth. I don't. I care why they came to the room that we're sitting in. And I want to know what they want to get out of it. Now, for many people, it's getting out of their cell, which I respect, I understand. I just hope maybe they'll hear something that'll get them to come back the following week.
Do you find that when one person starts to talk, then maybe a few others don't feel as intimidated and are willing to share their stories?
Absolutely. Because to me, the best group is when I do very little talking. I ask questions and hope that the people that are in there will help each other and start to open up. I am sometimes amazed, especially with my men's groups, when they start to open up and share and help each other and feel the emotions that they've been pushing aside for so many years and try to figure out how they can make those changes.
This is a yeoman's task, but you are following a specific program called SMART, the acronym. So could you tell us what SMART is?
Sure. SMART recovery is what's considered one of the many, many, many multiple pathways of recovery. Most people have heard of the 12-step recovery program, which is more faith-based for many people. Nothing wrong with that. I have a place in my heart for AA. Smart recovery is something that the people in Choosing Integrity chose to work into before I came along. It's a pathway of recovery that's based in science. It's based in cognitive behavioral therapy. SMART stands for self-management and recovery training. And it's built on four tenets. One is maintaining motivation to change. The other one is coping with urges. And then managing thoughts, feelings, and behavior. And finally, living a balanced life. And we do exercises over and over where people look at their values and they look at their goals and they look at their thoughts and their feelings. One thing I always say to them is their thoughts and their feelings didn't put them in the jail. Their actions did. So if we can change their thoughts and their feelings, which might be, as Smart Recovery calls it, irrational, maybe their behavior will change. So it's teaching folks how to question the way they're thinking and feeling. And sometimes I just sum it up into a big pause. It's just a pause between your thoughts and your actions.
Of all of the steps you've just told me about, which ones do people gravitate toward most?
The one I like to use the most, and the one that anyone who I've worked with, as soon as I say, let's A, B, C, D, E this one, someone will come in with a problem or an issue, and it's an exercise of SMART recovery where you look at A, which is the activating event, B, which is the belief that you held when that event activated you, C is the consequence, which is usually pretty negative, and then D is the work, D is the dispute, and it's questioning. Someone shared this at one of the groups I led, so I'll use this as an example. I went to a funeral, and afterwards everybody went to the bar, and everyone was handed a drink, and let's toast the person that passed away. The person in question initially was thinking, I have to do this. I have to honor my friend. The only way to do it is with alcohol, and one won't hurt me. Those were his beliefs at the time. The consequence, we can pretty much figure out what happened. The dispute, the questioning in the moment should be, can I just have one? Is there another way for me to toast this person? Does it have to be with alcohol? Will people get offended if I toast him otherwise? So these are all those questions that you want to be able to stop and ask yourself before the action, before the consequence happens. And then the effect is looking at, once you question, what's changed? What can you do differently the next time? So I jokingly say, whenever, you know, someone brings that, let's A, B, C, D, E that, and they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Incarceration, when you see it on television, in the movies, it's very different than real life. What does incarceration sound like or look like?
The doors are the worst part. The doors that open and the doors that close, and hearing them close. It's very drab. The walls are kind of like a muddy beige. In the meeting rooms, not comfortable plastic chairs. There's windows. You see people walking up and down the hallway. It's noisy. There's always something over the loudspeaker. There's cameras, you know, but now it's just, I've been going in there for 2 years. It doesn't even bother me anymore. But I also know from the folks that I talk to, it's boring. There's a lot of time that they don't know what to do with, that they're in their cells and they have to stay in their cells for a good amount of time. It's hard.
Are there any supplemental programs maybe that deal with learning a musical instrument or reading poetry or something along those lines to get their mind off of that solitude?
They've brought in a tablet program called Edovo. When I first started there, I used to hear about these tablets. It's like an iPad, but different. The warden has been able to get one for every person in there. So they all have their own individual tablet. And this Edovo program has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things that they can learn about. Whether there's cognitive behavioral therapy ones, there's parenting ones, there's all different programs, which is great. I'm a firm believer, as I told you, in face-to-face. And so what I really like to do is, you know, let's say I have a group of people that took the cognitive behavioral program on the tablet. Let's talk about it. What did you learn? Anything you have questions about? So I think getting that face-to-face in person is really, really important. There are church groups that come in. There's a program in our area called VIP, Victims Intervention Program, that deals with victims of violence, which is very, very important. The majority of the people I see and believe that have substance use issues and are incarcerated have pretty bad trauma in their past, and that's just not dealt with, and they try to do that.
When you see someone responding to what you're attempting to do, how do you notice it? How do you know when they're getting it?
They start talking more. They start opening up. They start recognizing mistakes they've made in the past, and then they want to change. They say, I want to do something different. I have one young man I met when he was in jail. He sat there in the back. He's a big guy, and he sat there in the back with his arms crossed with this scowl on his face. And I just saw him before I left walking around Milford. He's out, he's working, and I've started a program with Choosing Integrity where we're training, helping folks and paying for folks to become certified recovery specialists like myself so that we could start kind of a peer-to-peer support network. And he's one of the first that's doing it. And I'm so pleased. I'm so proud of where he's come. He wants to help others make changes so that they don't have to go where he was.
Do you ever come across people that are in the group that just don't want to respond to anything, that they're just shut down?
Yeah. And there's nothing I can do. I'll always try to include them. I just did a SMART group down in Monroe County, and I like to go around the room and have people introduce themselves. And they'll do that maybe, and that's it. And that's okay, as long as they're still listening. That's all, you know, that matters to me. And a lot of times they end up coming back. So that's good. Something clicked.
It says a lot about what you're doing, though, too. You've got a very calming presence. You're there to help them out. But do they feel that, okay, she's here to help me out, but maybe let's test her a little bit?
One of the things I said to my husband early on when I started, I said, you know, I think my gray hair really helps me in there. There's a little bit of a sense of respect, not only from the people that I work with, but even the correctional officers. I'm treated with great respect, but I also treat them with respect. And, you know, I think that's the big difference. I don't think they're used to that. So even if they don't want to respond and they don't want to participate, they recognize that, but I still respect them for even for walking in the room. It takes a lot. They don't have to. None of it is mandatory.
When the time comes when they are able to get out and start a new life, what kind of talk do you have with them prior to them going back out there and trying to start anew?
Well, unfortunately, we're never really sure when they're going to leave. So, you know, I'll show up the next week and they'll be gone. What I try to do is give people my email address so that they can get in touch with me once they're out, and I'll get theirs if I can. I wish there was something more definite like that, but there really isn't. You know, they have hearings, suddenly they'll be gone. There have been a lot of goodbyes I haven't gotten to say, which is, you know, unfortunate, but they know where to find me. What I've really been working on now is recruiting volunteers to go in. We have very little funding at Choosing Integrity, but I have a lot of people in the community that want to help. And so I have some volunteers. I have two women that are starting to bring an AA meeting for women in that jail. There have been for men, but not for women. I have two women that are going to be taking a trauma-informed yoga course. There's something called the Prison Yoga Project, and bring that in.
What are some of the talents or gifts these individuals discover about themselves?
I've been working with one young woman, and she has discovered she is a really good mother. Oh my God, she's wonderful with her kids, and she's been doing great for the past 2 years. I see her or speak to her almost every week. She has a job, she's working. Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard for them to get jobs if they have a record. The place that hired this young man I was talking about, I know him. You know, Milford's a very small town. I happened to run into him yesterday walking to the post office, and I thanked him. I said, thank you for giving him another chance. You know, more employers need to do that. And he was really touched that I recognized that. And that really, I think, is the problem. They're not given a chance. I get most of the phone calls I get at Choosing Integrity are, I can't find a job. No one will hire me.
Is there something within the system itself that might be able to help them prior to their leaving, maybe to set them up with places that would hire them, maybe a garage or maybe a restaurant. Do you have a network like that?
Choosing Integrity just got a grant to begin the formation of what we're calling a day center that will have vocational skills. I, you know, ran a restaurant for 32 years. I have another job in a nonprofit called CHOW, which is Culinary Hospitality Outreach Wellness. It's based out of Denver, but we do a lot of work virtually. We support folks in hospitality, in mental health and substance use issues. One thing about the hospitality industry is we'll hire anybody. We're always looking for help. We're always open. Our kitchens are always open. Our dining rooms are always open. But it's very stressful. You know, it's a chicken or egg thing, but a lot of people have been exposed to substances in restaurants or continue on that path because they're there. And what I try to do is tell people it is possible. I was a sober bartender for years. It is possible. But you need support. You need coping skills. And so those kind of things, I try and teach them while they're in there to work anywhere, really.
How many people do you work with at a given time?
That's hard to answer. Down in Monroe last week, I had 15 individuals. There's usually about 8 in my Milford group. The jail groups, sometimes I have 1 or 2 people. Sometimes I have 8 or 10. You know, in the jail, if they're working overnight, they don't come in. Like I said, it's not mandatory. I have about a dozen people that I've worked with over the years that I met in jail that I still see and speak to, either meet them, talk to them, text them, which is really wonderful.
How do you feel a person has changed when they have done their time behind bars? How do you think they've changed? What do you see?
What I see primarily initially is they don't want to go back there. That's usually the big motivator. Then again, I see people that have come back, and that breaks my heart a little, but hopefully next time they'll try to make a different change or reach out for more support, which is usually the case.
Do you find that sometimes people feel more comfortable when they have that scenario, that they're so used to it that they don't want to go back out, that they just want to go back in?
People I've met that have really, really struggled and have, it's so sad to say, nothing on the outside, no family, no job. For them, sometimes it might be. We try whatever we can to get them support. A lot of people talk about my family won't forgive me or won't take me back. You can't change the past, and that's on them, not you. You can only show them going forward that you are committed this time. It goes back to the name Choosing Integrity. Everybody has a choice. My goal is to let people know they have a choice, that they can make changes in their lives and they can think a different way and behave a different way and hopefully change their life. But I know it's easier said than done because it's really, really hard.
If a person wants to be accepted outside of the walls, outside of the cells, don't they have to forgive themselves first?
Absolutely.
That's the hard part.
Absolutely. It's really hard. The shame, the guilt, all of those things. When people are in recovery, sometimes forgiving themselves for what they put their family through, you know, what they put themselves through, you know, their loved ones, it's very hard. Yeah. It's a phrase that's used in peer support all the time. We meet them where they're at, and then we move forward. And they have to look at it too for themselves. Just, this is where you are now. Now move forward. It's their choice. And so knowing I'm presenting them with options and with coping skills, that's what I can do. When you're helping other people, you're helping yourself get better. You're helping yourself recover.
Choosing Integrity, how did that happen? Tell me about the title.
Hampton Morgan and Jean Bechtold, who were the founders, thought those words meant something for people that are incarcerated, but they have a choice to live by their values. They have a choice to be responsible, to be trustworthy, and they can make that choice, and they can do it. So we're guiding them. We're just helping them along that path. We're there to support them.
An extraordinary lady, Sharon Daniel, Executive Director of Choosing Integrity, a Pike County nonprofit organization where incarcerated individuals learn life skills to rebuild their lives. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.